What's up, guys? Welcome back to Strength 101. I'm here with Matresa.
Hey.
And today we're going to talk about all the different muscle groups that we have on our body and give you our best tips for how to grow them. Maybe you specifically want to grow your arms or your back, or you want to finally figure out how to grow your abs. Today we're going to tell you what we have found over the course of the last few years training hundreds of people.
He said abs, by the way.
What?
Did I? It sounded like you said
ass. Like, oh boy, oh no. Well, we are going to talk about that too. So if you want to grow your ass, or as we like to call it, glutes, then we'll also hit that. But we're going to hit every major muscle group. We'll go through our upper body first, then we'll hit our lower body after that. And we're just going to tell you basically how we do it and what we think is best from our own experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Get right into it?
Right into it.
All right.
Upper body?
Yeah. Start us off. What about chest? We just finished a chest program too, where we trained chest 3 times a week. What did you learn? What do you think?
Well, honestly, so I feel like me as a woman, I feel like you hear too often that they're like, oh, women don't want to train chest. Like, who wants to train chest? And I can't say I've done much of it. Like, I've done bench press maybe is the most of it, you know,
sure.
And I've never been very strong in that. So honestly, I've always shied away from it. But from our program that we did when it was more chest work, I loved it. It was really cool to feel a different stimulus in a muscle that I've never really worked before. And I got a heck of a lot stronger in that area as well, I would say.
What'd you like about it?
I think that because it, what I liked about it, honestly, it's going to sound weird, but it's because people are like, oh, you don't want to train that. You're a girl or whatever. It's like, well, screw you. I want a strong chest. Like, that doesn't
matter. Just out of rebellion.
Yeah, in a way.
Sure.
But it just, because I actually felt the gratification, instant gratification right away of I could feel the difference in those muscles every time. Because we actually did exercises where you felt the muscle group every time. So I think not a lot of people have that mind and muscle connection in your chest, I think.
Yeah. But. Well, and women should definitely train chest. Like, even though it might not be a showy muscle for women, a strong chest is excellent for healthy shoulders. It'll also just change your posture. That's the one thing that we saw when we were training chest that much, is just the positions that you have to get into to actually activate your chest, reinforce that shoulders back, chest high, proud chest, good posture position. And I think a lot of, like, I heard that from a lot of the women, was that at least they got better at pulling their shoulders back, which is great for a number of exercises. And just because, you know, somebody walks in this room right now and they're all slumped over and their shoulders are rolled forward, they don't look confident. They don't look like they lift, and you just roll your shoulders back and all of a sudden you look like Superman or Wonder Woman.
Yeah, there you
go. Or whoever. But okay, so best results for chest training, I have found, one, you definitely have to press to a certain extent. With any muscle group, you have to find some type of overload exercise. And I think we both still believe that bench pressing and the various types of bench press, whether that's bench press, incline, decline, floor press, even the standard push-up, those are probably best for overloading and activating the chest. But when you're talking about a muscle, you're not just looking at how large it is, but you're also looking at whether it actually is defined in its area. And that's where I saw a big difference. So a little bit of background. I've been lifting for so many years at this point, at least 15, and I never felt like I could grow my chest. And I've done bench press and different exercises for years, and primarily pressing exercises. But on this last program, we focused in on things that were squeeze exercises. And so that's things like clasping our hands together and pushing away from our chest in a pinch press format. Mm-hmm. We tried an incline pinch press with a landmine. We did some pec fly action. And we really focused on...
chest crusher?
Yes, we did the chest crusher. Mm-hmm. The old school chest crusher. If you want to know what a chest crusher is, look it up. This is something that old school bodybuilders used to use. It was spring loaded back then, but they have a hydraulic one on Amazon now, where you're just taking from long arms out in front of you and you're squeezing. We did it in a version where I'd say it was like closing a big book.
Yeah.
Like, I put my hands out, and then against that hydraulic press, I was squeezing it together, and we could finally feel the inside of our chest.
You feel it come together. It honestly, it kind of looks like a hedge trimmer or something when you look it up. That's really in, but... does wonders.
Yeah. It's important to remember that with any muscle group, you have to know what activates it. And with the chest muscles, with the pecs, they're primarily responsible for taking your arm from away from you towards the midline of your chest. And so if you can involve movements that do that, like a pec fly or a pec fly machine or any of that pinch press stuff we did, you're going to get that inside of the chest a little bit better. There's really two heads to the chest. There's the sternal head, so that's the part that comes from your shoulder and connects to the middle of your chest. And then there's the clavicular head, which comes from the shoulder and attaches up onto your collarbone. And that's what a lot of people think of as the upper chest. And so I think if there's anything I've learned from growing chest, it's you need to hit chest in a bench press format for that overload. That's going to give you the bulk of your chest muscle, but it may be a little bit more focused on the lower part and the outside of the chest. And if you really want to get a defined chest, defined pecs, then you have to do squeeze and incline specific work to really get that rounded shape. Now that would be more for guys, but even for women, in the, like let's say you get shredded down for summer like you're doing right now, and then you put on a tank top, you're gonna see the chest muscles along the collarbone and along the sternum there that I think a lot of women actually like the look of, but they don't know that that's chest muscle.
Yes.
You know?
Agreed.
Yeah. Anything else that you learned on chest?
No, just I mean, really that I like it a lot. So yeah. Like that's something I want to continue to do. And I'd say too is with all these different press variations you're talking about, try all of them because you might be surprised of where like you might lack that you want to work on more, or like you might find one easier than you expected. Like decline was easier for me than incline was.
Yeah.
And I would never have thought that because I feel like the blood's rushing in my head. But like it's so good. Like, and you get a totally different stimulus as well. So
yeah, so change it up a lot. So a lot of variety. That's what we're going to recommend on a lot of these muscle groups. Mm-hmm. If you want to train the lower chest, then you want to think decline. Chest as a whole, think regular bench press. And then if you want to get the upper a little bit more, think incline. But then one thing we definitely learned over that program was we trained chest 3 times a week, and that was really helpful. It seems like even though the chest is considered a strong muscle, it's actually fairly small on most of us. And so it can be trained frequently so that you can continue to hit that stimulus and it recover fast and you can grow it faster.
For sure.
So that's what I would recommend. Cool. Let's move on to arms. Ooh, arms. I know you got stuff
arms
on arms.
Arms is good. Well, so going off of chest of talking about, we did that 3 times a week. We did arms 3 times a week, our last 2 programs. So for 8 weeks, we did that for 3 times. And that was, I mean, this sounds a lot, but I mean, it was life-changing, I would say, of just of how much of consistency you can make to actually like see a change. And I have been someone that's always been, I've talked about this in past podcasts where I'm just long and lengthy. I've had no muscle definition of my arms ever. And now I finally am like building the biceps, and it's such a cool feeling. And it's something as well that I think as women mostly, like, we don't work on our arms enough, you know, we're always known of, oh, get strong legs, but it's like, what about your arms? Like, it's very motivating to see that. So anyways, arms was a huge thing. Bicep curls we hit, and triceps were our, or not just bicep curls, biceps and triceps what we hit those 3 times a week.
Yeah, I think often that arms are just treated as a side dish. And if you really want to grow them, you want to treat them like the main course.
The main course.
Yeah, or at least hit them with that frequency like we did, where it was 3 times a week. It was a resounding difference when we polled the members at the end of that program, or after the end of the 8 weeks of arms. Hey, do you actually feel a difference in your arms? And it was a resounding yes.
Like, you could.
Some people didn't want it to go away.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you could definitely see it on so many members of the changes that they're making too, or if they're going up in weight or whatever. Like, it was noticeable, and the confidence that people had too was really exciting. Just how excited they got of, oh my gosh, I'm up a whole belt. Like, that's huge.
Yep. 2 really big things for arms. One, I think it's really important to know what wrist position does for your biceps. That's something I try to point out to people a lot. If you're watching this on YouTube right now, you'll be able to see me do this, but follow along with me if you're on the podcast. So you can take your arm. If I put my arm at 90 degrees here and I have my thumb pointed towards the ceiling, this is what we would call a neutral grip. And if I'm going to do bicep curls, or usually we call them hammer curls in this position, I'm actually going to get like the bulk of the outside of the arm here, but I'm not really going to grow the bicep. The wrist position changes what you grow. And so if I were to take my palm towards the ceiling, if you're watching on YouTube, you can immediately see that my bicep changes shape, and I'm not doing any lifting. All I did was twist my wrist. So if you take your palm towards the ceiling, put your hand on your bicep and see how much that changes it. So very important. I think some people just go and they lift with their arms and they don't really think about what direction to put their wrists. The heels of the hand, palms towards the ceiling, is really going to be better for a profound bicep peak. Mm-hmm. The other thing I really like to point out about biceps is that you can focus on either hitting the peak on the outside, which I think a lot of people like. They like that lump, that egg. Or you can hit the big ball section on the inside. So if you were to flex in front of somebody, that's be more of what would show. By where you put your elbow. So in that program, we did preacher curls, where you put your elbow out in front of your body, and that's better for hitting the bulk on the inside of the arm. And you can feel it when you really focus on an exercise like that. It feels like you're really growing the ball of it that's on the inside of the arm. Now on the outside of the arm, the one that most people see, you're going to hit that better if you do things that are behind your body. And so we like an incline curl for that, where you lean back on the bench. And if you get your arms behind you, and especially if you really focus on keeping that elbow behind you and not allowing yourself to pull it forward, you'll feel such an intense burn in the peak and the outside that you actually have power over how you shape these muscles.
For sure.
And variety is key for both the biceps and the triceps because there's multiple heads there. Biceps, two heads, and so you want to train both of them the way I just said. Triceps, three heads, and so you want to train in different grip variations too, where it's palms facing up like we would do in a skull crusher, palms facing neutral like we would do, and you can do that in a skull crusher. You can do that in a variety of exercises, tricep pushdowns, and then even reverse grip, which is going to hit a different muscle group. Yeah. We did some of that.
I would say even on biceps too, of bicep curl specifically, I see a lot of people do this all the time, and I'm someone that's such a spaz about it, is when you're coming down your bicep curl, to make sure that you come down to full extension every time, because if you don't get your arm fully long and come back up, you're shortening yourself on gains totally. So especially shortening that muscle, rather if you come out here, come to full length and come through, you're working that whole bicep. So if you want big biceps, think about that.
Yeah, that's a huge point. Full range of motion on almost anything is better for muscle gain than doing short range of motion work. Mm-hmm. Unless you're doing it for something really specific, you should always try to hit full range of motion as much as possible.
Absolutely.
Now, the other thing with arms that I wanted to mention was, I think a lot of people don't take them all the way to failure. That's what we hammer
on.
We're like, push it to failure, push it to failure, push it to failure. But I think because people treat it like a side dish, let's say I were to assign somebody who we don't coach directly 15 repetitions on bicep curls, I don't think they're going to be pushing it until they want to drop the weight. And in the class environment, we have control over that. So we're pushing people close to failure. Mm-hmm. And that's always when I see the biggest change in my arms. If I don't push them to that point, I don't see them grow.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with that. I think that was definitely a changing thing. So rather than picking up the 2.5s or 5s that you've been doing for how long, maybe grab the 10 and see how that burns out.
Yeah.
Or just do, I guess, more reps on it, I would say, otherwise, if you were like, nope, not doing that, well, then see if that makes a difference.
Yeah. Either way, when you're done with arms, you should feel like you want to drop the weights. Like, you don't want to touch
your arms
again.
Your arms going to fall off.
Yep. But then they'll recover fast, so then you can hit them with that frequency again.
Yeah.
What about shoulders? So, like, I think similar to chest, you want to start with whatever is, like, a nice overload exercise where you're going to get plenty heavy weight on your shoulders, and then you want to talk about variety. And so just a standard shoulder press is going to be one of the only things that you can do for your shoulders where you push significant weight. And so just whether that's a bodybuilding type of shoulder press where your elbows come out to the side, or you're doing more of a barbell press, any type of barbell military overhead press, whether that's seated or standing, is going to be the best way to overload the muscles. And just as long as you're taking it to full range of motion where you're coming down below your chin and then you're getting all the way through with those shoulders where your elbow's almost behind your ear, then you're at least hitting to some extent all of the muscles that are surrounding the shoulder. And so I would start there.
And I would say with that, like, I myself didn't know what a bodybuilder press was. Maybe some of you will that are watching this. If not, exactly, like, do that again. Like, coming out wide. Like, that, this is crazy of how different of a stimulus it is. And to, at least to my surprise, I can't go as heavy as if I bring my arms in a little bit more.
Yeah.
But you get such a burn. Like, we did this in our class on Saturday, and my shoulders are still shot up from it. Like, I'm sore. But it's great. Like, it's super awesome of an exercise to burn out on.
Yeah. You can't go nearly as heavy, like you mentioned. Like, if you were to press out in front of your body, you can't go nearly as heavy when you get those shoulders off to the side. But like you mentioned, like, the burn specifically in the shoulder is so intense that it's hard to ignore and say that you shouldn't do that. Then you want to go for variety, because there are multiple heads to these deltoids that are on the shoulder. And so if you want to think of it as three different types, you want to think about, like, the front, the side, the lateral, and then the rear deltoid. Those things should be hit, especially if you really want defined big shoulders. You have to pay a little bit of love to each one of them.
Yeah.
Anything that's front raise is going to hit the front of the shoulders. So that could just be dumbbells, just pulling them up in front of your shoulders, just to shoulder height. You don't have to go overhead if you don't want to. And hitting high repetitions there, because it's a small muscle. Mm-hmm. Anything with small muscles where you're trying to hit a specific muscle, you want to keep it a higher rep and lighter weight so that you don't take over with some bigger muscles.
For sure.
So you want to hit front raises, and you want to hit lateral raises.
My favorite.
Yep. There's just nothing better for them, right? Like, you actually get a pump. That's where you get that shoulder
feel
cap
it,
look.
For sure. Mm-hmm. And we always, I mean, I would even add in a cue that Nick has always used that I appreciate, is trying to pour water out when you're coming up on lateral raises.
Yeah.
Then you're even getting an extra turn here. Because even if you would do it now, if you just come up to the sides, okay, yeah, you're feeling it. But then if you're coming down and actually getting that turn and that rotation, you can even feel that deltoid even more, get a good hit.
Yeah. It really helps to think about leading with the elbows when you're doing those lateral deltoids, that shoulder raise. Because the first thing that people do, especially as they get tired and they try to go too heavy, is they're going to take those hands above the elbows. And now we've just shifted everything into our back muscles. And it's not that we don't want bigger traps, but most people would rather have bigger shoulders than bigger neck muscles, right?
Yeah.
And then the rear delt is something that most of the time, if you are doing a lot of rowing exercises, you're probably going to hit this with a lot of your back work. But I do think it's important to spend some time on that. And so I think there's two exercises that you can really hit it well with, or three exercises, and two of them we do in the gym and one we don't. You can do face pulls. Face pulls are phenomenal for starting with that rear delt. In that position, we're trying to keep the elbows at shoulder level and just pull back. Then there's also bench supported rows. This is one that we do in the gym where you're laying on the bench and you're leaned over. And then what we do is we flare the elbows out to the side and keep it high row. I think that's important. If you want to hit your rear delts, you want to keep things to a high row because that's going to keep it up in the shoulders and the upper back.
We actually just adjusted that more of where it used to be more inner. And then as we came out wider, it totally hits differently and it burns. And in my opinion, it's harder to actually go heavy on that spot too, just because on me, that's definitely a weak spot.
Yeah.
So it, again, mind and muscle connection is everything on those.
And you're right. That's an important one not to go too heavy on, because it's easy. If I put too heavy of weights in your hand, you're just going to recruit your bigger lat muscles. Mm-hmm. You're going to start training those instead of the rear of the shoulder.
Right.
And then the third one is if you're in a commercial gym and you have the pec fly machine and it goes the other way, so you can do rear delt flies.
Yes.
There's just nothing better than hitting that. And that rear delt is really the thing that if you were to look at somebody from the side, instead of it looking like they have a shoulder that's only the front and the side, it gives it that third part of it. So it actually looks like a globe or a pumpkin. We like to say pumpkin delts. That's what gives it that full round appearance.
Yeah.
What about abs?
Well, abs are my absolute favorite, I would say, to train, just because I think they're so fun, because you can do anything and everything. Body weight burns, weight burns. I would say recently, because we also hit abs 3 times a week in our last program too, everything 3 times a week, but no.
Yeah. Frequency is king.
It is. And some of my favorites are, which I don't think I would ever said this a few years ago, I've always liked just like the most basic, like Russian twists, for example, just having that weight and that good rotation. Sprinter sit up is one that we do. That's one of my absolute favorites. But one that I never thought I'd like so much is just strictly just hanging from a rig and then getting like your knees to your chest, so, like your tuck unders there, is I think that.
Yeah.
Has made a big difference for me. And the being controlled on those is huge, because I've always been someone that would swing and I'd always wonder why, my abs don't burn after this. But if you take those very controlled, and I mean, besides just working your abs, you're also getting better grip strength, which who doesn't want that?
100%. I think the biggest defining thing, if I had like 30 seconds to tell somebody how to build abs, I would say do more flexion-based work or crunch work and try to find a way to do it weighted.
Yes.
Abs are just a muscle. And if we're talking about abs, specifically talking about the visible portion, like the six-pack and the obliques, we all know that we're not going to see those unless our body fat's low enough, right? Hopefully, yes.
So it starts in the kitchen.
Yep. But if you actually want to develop those muscles, you want to find ways to bend with them and you want to make them weighted. And so we really like decline sit-ups for that. We really like the hanging knee raises that you mentioned. And then you also mentioned Russian twists. And those are like the three for me that I'm like, we can load these and we can really try to round our spine out. Because that's what those six pack muscles really do, is they round. I think there's a lot of people that are really big fans of plank work. And it's not that plank work doesn't burn, and it's not that it doesn't build your abs necessarily, but you're teaching your body to stay in one place. Mm-hmm. And by definition, isometrics, we call it, when they stay in one place, are just not as good for developing muscle mass as doing actually like full contraction work. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you'll find stuff all over the internet. It's like, ditch the sit-ups and like start doing planks. That's great if you want a heavy squat. But if you want to see your abs, you want to do hanging knee raises, you want to do decline sit-ups, and then any of the body weight stuff that you mentioned where it's like, I'm going to do a ton of crunch work, I'm going to do oblique work, and it's body weight. As long as you're taking that to pure fatigue, you'll build muscle that way too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Abs are fun, just never-ending options.
Yeah. And frankly, if you build them up once, they will stay for a long time. Mm-hmm. So if you just do some work on weighted abs for a couple cycles, you're going to see a difference for probably the rest of your life, unless
for sure.
You completely neglect them. What about back? We're in a big back program right now.
Yeah, back's super fun. I would say that's also a muscle group that I never thought. To be honest, if you haven't picked up by now, I think that legs were always just something that I was like, cool. But everything else I never realized. Like Nick and I have touched on this in past podcasts, but if you want that like hourglass shape, no matter who you are, or I shouldn't even say, just like you want that smaller waist illusion like look, that your upper or your back's going to be what's important to grow. My favorite for back is, I love lat pull downs. Rows are one of my struggles, but rows are great still. Like, they're a good thing to obviously be working, and it's good for me too, even though they're not a strong suit of mine. But gorilla rows, though, are super fun. That's one I feel like I've learned at Strength Academy that I do love. Again, all about control on that, but I'd say any type of version of lat pull down is probably my favorite.
Yeah, totally. And I think you want to once again think about, okay, what are they training? You mentioned it with any of our lat pull down work, or what we consider vertical pull work. So pull ups, lat pull down, certain types of rows.
Duh, pull ups.
Those are going to hit those big lat muscles that give you that V shape that you talked about, make your waist look smaller. And so if you're looking for a width to your back or just that V shape in general, then you definitely have to hit a lot of vertical pull work. I think a lot of that stuff is best done as overload work. Your lats are really strong, and so you have to be able to load those up nice and heavy. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's a chance that your grip or your biceps could limit you, but most people, they just need to start learning how to do a pull-up, start learning how to do heavy lat pull-downs.
I think it's important, actually, while we're on this topic, is it'd be great to explain to somebody how to get their first bodyweight pull-up if they're hearing this.
Yeah, like the
cool,
fast version.
How do you get a pull-up? Yeah.
Yeah. How'd you do it?
Well, I would say, honestly, I started at rings. So I, granted, your gym might have, what is that called?
Like a TRX strap.
Well, I was thinking the assisted, or it's like an assisted
pull-up. Oh, yeah, pull-up assisted thing. Pull-up with a little bench that goes up and down.
Yeah. I'm sure you could learn great on that. I started, though, with either TRX straps or rings we have at our gym. And you would start making sure you're upright and you're coming down long, getting your body long, and then your arms are long. And then you're just, I would be slow and controlled pulling myself up and just getting comfortable with pulling down my shoulders and starting to activate my lats, because I definitely didn't have much strength of lats whatsoever when I started. Along with that, eccentric pull-ups have been a huge thing, I'd say.
Yeah.
So if you're coming up to a rig or whatever you're working your pull-ups on, is you're jumping up over that bar, getting your chin over that bar, and then you're nice and slow and controlled down, keeping your shoulders down away from your ears, and like 3 seconds on the way down, and 3 seconds actually, not 1 second or 2 seconds.
Yeah, that's, the eccentrics are massive for teaching positions, because like we see it all the time, and like you mentioned, when you first start trying to do a pull-up, the chances that you're even strong enough to get your chest up and get your shoulders down into the proper pulling position, like, you might be too weak to do that, which is totally fine. And most people are. Like, how much time do we spend with our arms above our heads? We're not monkeys anymore. And so you need to like dose yourself into that so that you don't learn to do pull-ups in improper position. And so getting on the rig and starting to practice things like scap pull-ups or get bands on your foot or start with the rings is a really good place to get that foundation. And then if you already are doing pull-ups and you're like, man, I do pull-ups and my form is decent, but I'm just not to the point where I can do a bodyweight pull-up. In our programming, we have found frequency to be massive for developing the pull-up, because it is a skill. Yes, we can build the strength, but you have to practice the skill. Mm-hmm. And we like the mantra, if you can do one, you can do 10. And so a lot of our programming is building up to the point where we force somebody into a position to try their first bodyweight pull-up. Mm-hmm. So maybe that starts with eccentrics. We're right now on a program where we're doing 11 reps on Monday on pull-ups for our sets. Nobody's going to do that body weight. Some people might, like stronger people, but most people are going to be banded and we're just practicing the skill. Then when we go to that eccentric, you're stronger when you jump up into the top position and let yourself down than if you were to do a strict pull-up.
Okay.
And so you can set those good positions and then teach yourself to lower out of them properly. And so that's really important. But if you can get to that first pull-up, then that first body weight pull-up, then you can practice singles every time after that. So like, let's say you did get your first bodyweight pull-up and you're somebody who has a pull-up bar at home. Every time you pass that pull-up bar, you do one rep, and then now it's a skill and you're gonna just skyrocket your pull-ups.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be scared to do things like 3 reps on pull-ups. If you're in a gym by yourself and you're used to doing 10 reps on everything, you're probably not gonna get to great pull-ups doing that right away. You wanna practice as close to bodyweight as possible, so that might mean you have to do 3 reps and then rest. And it might not feel like you're doing much, but the strength will come.
For sure. And if you're just walking in there for the first time trying to figure it out, like, don't be afraid to use the rings or bands, as you're saying. Like, you have to start somewhere, and I promise you, like, you'll build up from that. Because I never thought I'd get on the rig without bands. I always thought I'd probably be on rings for a long time, and I can do body weight.
Now you crush them. So. Yep. As far as back width is concerned, definitely the lats. And then those rowing exercises that you mentioned, there's tons of different rows you can do. And as long as you can do them heavy enough, they're really good exercises. So rows are going to get more of the width of the back, and they're also going to develop more of the upper back. And so I think a lot of women really like the upper back stuff, at least from what I've experienced in our gym, that's one of the first things we see as people get stronger, is that their upper back gets really nice and strong. So that's a foundation, a place you want to start. Something like back is starting to become a big enough muscle group that if you went in and you really intentionally tried to hit back hard, you're probably going to be pretty tired and it might take a while to recover. So you may not want to do 3 times a week heavy back work, especially since it'll affect your lower back, it'll affect your shoulders. You may be better off doing twice or even once a week if you're hitting a really heavy back session.
Mm-hmm. I would even actually just another exercise choice, because I know most places have like landmine sections that you can use.
Oh yeah.
We've been doing a landmine row, and that has been super game changer for me personally, of just feeling that more of the upper back is what you're talking about. Because as I said, I'm not super strong in those positions, and that one's nice because you don't need to load up the bar super crazy and you feel the changes. One other thing with that is talking about changing of your hands.
Oh yes, your grip.
So I know not every lat pull down machine, because a lot of the handles are wider, I guess. Yeah. But if you are coming to more of a narrow piece, we'll always coach, instead of like having your thumb around the handle, we'll bring it to like your index finger, so it's the outside. So as you're hanging onto it here versus here, and it makes a huge difference to activate your lats. Like you need to try it if you haven't tried it, and then come back and tell us.
That's an old school bodybuilding trick. The reason it helps too is if you get that thumb on the other side, it helps you rotate your shoulder open better.
Yeah.
So you can actually get that shoulder pull back. And we see people all the time that just hang out with their shoulder in front of their body.
Yeah.
And they're not actually working their back, right? It's just arms and shoulder work.
And they wonder why their shoulders hurt.
Yeah. And so it's crazy how much you switch that grip and it can completely change. Maybe that's the first time you ever feel your back. Mm-hmm. So instead of really death gripping that bar, maybe move your thumb to the same side as your fingers and see if it doesn't help.
See if it feels different.
Yeah. All right.
So if you like any of these exercises, or you're like, I'm going to try some of these, come back and let us know what you think. Otherwise, if you're like, you missed my favorite exercise, let us know that too, and we'll talk about them.